Welcome back to another episode of Not That Funny. Here we are, and I have a guest to introduce, and he's here, and he's queer. Cornman, dude. I'm just kidding. You're not queer.
Oh, that's debatable, right?
I suppose, but it's one of those things where it's like, some people don't get it, but it's like, well, you did this, so you're gay. No, I'm not gay. Well, it's kind of a gay thing. Yeah, sure. Some people could see it that way.
Which of your friends are saying I'm gay? And I want their addresses and their work schedules.
Zach was like,
just because they're not as enlightened as me doesn't mean.
I agree. Hey, I'm on your side on that. He's like, I have to say that's gay. It's at least 50-50 gay. He's like, you could say it's 50-50. Josh is like, you could say that. Or you could also say it's gay. No, a lot of people liked it. Like some girls I know.
Oh, really? We got female listeners. They were, what's up, ladies?
They were listening on their way.
The
like,
chicks love that.
Four of them in a car were listening to it on the way up north.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And they were like, oh, my fucking God. All right, so I had a couple questions.
Yeah.
Come from the audience.
I'll give them like 6 minutes worth of my time. Because I want to turn the page.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I think you said you had updates on this whole situation.
Yeah. So you can spend 6 minutes. Okay. I'll spend 6 minutes and then we got 12.
Question one. Did your lady friend have pubes?
No, they were properly scaped.
Okay. Did your...
Sorry, I'm choking on a pube.
I thought you answered this, but somebody wanted to know if your lady's friend's lady penis was bigger than your man penis.
No, it wasn't.
No. For realsies?
No, it wasn't bigger. It was, I mean, comparable.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, she's Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
But hers is only comparable.
Okay. And then what was the... There was like one last one. I don't remember. I think those were the main two. Some of the guys had some questions, but they were just like, their minds were blown. So they were like, wait, what?
Minds was blown too. Yeah.
So do you want me to ask you a few questions or do you have an update? I think you'll cover them in the few questions that I have.
I mean, if they're the same.
Give me your update and I'll ask.
Okay. So, you know, we did the podcast. Evan, now let me rewind even further.
Okay.
Do you remember a friend who shall remain nameless, got an STD, and he blamed it on a pair of pants he tried on?
Yeah.
So, you know, after the podcast, when I talked about this, I was like, oh, my pee's kind of warm. And...
warmer than 98.6?
Definitely warmer than 98.6. And then the next day, it kind of hurt to pee. And I'm like...
Come on.
And I'm like, well, I am wearing, like, new clothes, and I changed my soap.
Oh, dude.
So I understand where his head was at the time when he was like, well, maybe these pants I tried on.
Right.
It's because you want to give it every excuse.
Right.
Other than what it is.
I already know what you had.
What?
You had a little bit of poo-poo in your pee-pee.
No, I caught the fag. I caught the gayness.
Wait, what?
No, I'm just playing.
Wait a minute. Okay, all right.
Yeah, no, I'm just fucking around.
All right. Yeah, was it warm? Was it burning pee-pee?
Yeah. So it was like hotter. But in my head, I'm like, oh, I did just change my soap. I'm in deodorant and this and that.
And deodorant that I put on my penis.
Well, your dick doesn't stink that bad where you gotta deodorize that after the shower?
No.
Oh, mine neither. Just checking.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. But so I tried to give it every out before I accepted what it was. And the point where I accepted what it was when I had to take a piss at work. And I was bent in half with my dick out, bent in half over the toilet, as if I was throwing up, but right. I was peeing, but it hurt so bad, tears came to my eyes, and it felt like I was pissing needles. And so I happened to have that next morning off work to go to an interview, and...
Were you interviewing a doctor to see if you wanted to let him touch your penis? Check it out.
No, it was this company wants me to work for them, but I don't know if I want to go work for them.
Right.
So they want me to come see their facility, you know. So
you're making them court you?
I'm making them court me, yes. And like my pay scale is like way at the top of theirs, and it's at the bottom of my company's.
Right.
So, you know, there's kind of got to be some... incentive
being, right,
because I'm not gonna go in there and just cap out right away.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So so I had the interview, and then I went to the doctor. Sorry. I fidget.
Yeah.
I went to the doctor, and you know, they say like reason for visit on the form, and I was like, I wasn't sure what to write, so I wrote STD issue with a question mark.
That's very forward. A lot of people would be like, oh, I'll just get in a checkup. And then when they get in the room, they'd be like, doctor, my fucking dick hurts.
Yeah. So I'm one of the millions of uninsured Americans in the U.S. And so it's $80 to get back there to see the doctor.
Thanks a lot, Obama.
Well, it's not his fault. I just didn't reapply.
Oh, okay.
He was doing great.
Thanks a lot, Osama.
Thanks a lot, Okorna. But anyways, so I pay $80 to get there. And then, he comes in and he's like, what seems to be the problem? And I said, well, I had sex with a tranny.
Did you really say all this?
No. I said I had unsafe sex practices over the weekend, and now I'm feeling the pain from it. And he's like, what kind of pain? And I'm like, well, it burns when I pee. He's like, now does it burn, or does it feel like needles are coming up? I'm like, well, it's progressed to where needles are coming out at this point.
Yeah.
I was like, I really can't tell the distinction. It just really hurts.
It hurts.
And so he's like, okay, let me take a look. And so I pulled on my pants, and he's like, whoa, it doesn't always look like that. And I'm like, what, the black and the green? Yeah, it's always been like that. No, I'm just playing about that.
Could he tell? Did it look funny?
Well, no, he's like pinched my dick.
Oh.
And that was not comfortable, by the way. Like, he pinched it like he was trying to pop a pimple. And
like on the head of your dick?
Yeah, and then like pus came out.
Oh my God.
Your boy got the drip.
Which one? What is that?
The clap, I think.
The doctor didn't tell you you had the clap.
No, chlamydia.
Chlamydia.
Yeah. So they
who would have thought a tranny on the first date that let you fuck her in the ass would give you chlamydia? I mean, if you can't trust her, who can you trust?
Evan thought it.
Evan did think it, yeah. No, Evan was like, when you said no rubber, he's like, yeah, fuck it, whatever.
No,
he said heat of passion. Like, no, I get it. He didn't get any of the tranny stuff, but then...
Oh, I thought he said, come talk to me in 3 days when your piss is burning.
That is true.
Yeah,
he did say that.
So, it was $80 to get back there. And then he's like, okay, you're going to get a shot and two pills. And I was like, okay. And
you were like... dope and two Xanax.
And so the lady comes back and she's like, just so you know, the shot costs $40. And I was like, okay, that's fine.
And like, so, what are you gonna do?
Yeah,
it's like, nah,
I'd just rather not pee for the rest of my
life, because it doesn't go away. You need the shot, you need the antibiotic. Yeah.
So she's like, it's gonna cost another $40. I was like, well, run it. And she's like, okay. And then so it come in with the shot. Where do you want it, in your butt or in your arm? I'm like, well, I have to sit down at work, so my arm would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Do people ever answer in the butt?
Right.
Unless they mean, like, where do you want me to fuck you?
Right,
you know,
right.
Like, but anyways, so I get the shot, and then they send the pills to their pharmacy. I get to their pharmacy. The copay for the pills is $48 out of pocket. So now I'm up to, what, $168.
Yeah.
Okay. So before I left the doctor, and he was about to let me leave without the rest of these questions. Before I left the doctor, I say, what about other STDs? He says, what do you mean? What about other STDs? I was like, well, she gave me this one. Is there a chance that there could be more that won't be treated by this shot and pills? And he's like, oh, yeah, you want blood work done? I'm like, yeah, please. Please.
Yeah.
And so they took blood work and a urine sample. And it got so when I'm like, how much does that cost? Because, you know, everything's priced in this fucking doctor's office. Somewhere between $150 and $200. So now it's like a fucking $450 doctor visit. I could have took her out on a nice day for $450 and bought a nice condom.
Yeah, you could have the best condom in the world.
And, but yeah, so they called me 48 hours later or Monday. They called me however many hours Monday later was.
Right.
That's how many hours they called me later. And they said that it was not only the clap, but gonorrhea as well.
Okay.
So, but those are cleared up now. And,
it was Monday?
Monday.
So it's cleared up by Tuesday. It's Wednesday now?
I had him treat me blindly and then test me.
Oh, so he treated you for chlamydia and gonorrhea?
On Thursday.
Oh, nice.
And then, because it was something. We knew there was something going on down there. I wasn't leaving the office without some type of drugs.
Right.
So, whether it's a few Vicodin to get me through the weekend or something that's going to heal it.
Right.
Then, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, he totally ran that into my ear. He totally cured me. He's like Jesus.
Yeah, he cured you.
He laid his hands on my penis, and now it doesn't burn.
You should ask him to suck the pus out.
Will you suck my puss?
Dude, I can't believe... Well, I guess I can believe it.
Yeah, so that's...
Have you talked to the young lady since?
Oh, yeah.
What'd you say? Hey, you gave me chlamydia and gonorrhea.
I said... Well, I started the conversation off normal. Hey, how you doing?
What's up, bro?
You catch that football game last night? And so we started, you know, chit-chatting. And I was like, I have something kind of awkward to tell you. And she's like, what is it? And I was like, I want you to know I'm not mad at you. Because it takes two to tango. But I may or may not have contracted gonorrhea and or chlamydia from... your orifice.
Your butthole.
And she was like, oh my God, really? I haven't seen any signs. I've never had an STD.
I expect you to say all of that. I'm just telling you.
So the final text was, yeah, I guess I better talk to the other women I've been with. I'm protected for in the last 3 days.
Right.
The fuck?
That's pretty funny. So how has the conversations been going between you two? Kind of petering out.
Yeah. I decided it's not my cup of tea.
It's not. But I think you could be persuaded by like a really hot tranny.
All right, when you find one.
Yeah, I'm saying in theory.
Yeah, you'd be my wingman. We'll go in there, swoop in.
Hey, so breaking news. You're an Alex Jones fan, right?
Alex Jones?
Yeah.
No.
You're a raging lunatic fan of Alex Jones, right?
I'm a raging lunatic, but not a fan of Alex Jones.
Well, you guys are fans of trans porn together. He got busted on like his show.
Uh-huh.
He was on his phone, and they were like showing his phone to like show a website or something. Like he peddles a whole bunch of bullshit, you know?
Oh yeah.
And like they could see something in his browser history, and it was like trans girl relieved of cock hunger or something. Like you know how sometimes for the porn titles they make like a real creative title, and it was that on his phone, and he got called out for it. And he's been saying, you know, how mentally ill trannies are and shit for years. And of course he's fucking jacking off to trans porn.
You know what
I mean?
Yeah, so him talking about both sides of his mouth.
Yeah
but the trans porn, anytime the tranny, especially if she's porn grade, gets relieved of her cock hunger, Angel gets his wings. That's a great thing, man. That's the best kind of trans porn.
You know what? You're right. You're right.
That's the best kind of trans porn of all the trans porns.
When a tranny is relieved of that incestuous... incessant cock hunger. You know, that's a real bad disease in trans women. What's their that? Cock hunger. Have you been following this hurricane?
I'm only out of one.
So what are the odds it's like not even that big of a deal?
Yeah,
about 50-50, right?
Right. They're saying it's going to be the most devastating, $142 trillion in damage and stuff. And yeah, I doubt that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're looking at the numbers in the water. As soon as it hits land, it weakens.
Right.
So a category 4 in the water is category 3 on land.
Yeah.
You know?
The guy I work with, was his birthday's on Friday, and he took Thursday, Friday, and Monday off.
And he got turned up, boy.
No, it's this weekend. It's coming.
Oh, he's getting turned up, boy.
And he was like, "Look, so what are you doing? He's, are you going anywhere?" He's like, "Man, I wanted to go to Myrtle Beach, but it didn't. He's like, "It didn't pan out, man. My buddy couldn't go." I'm like, "Well, yeah, but then hurricane too." He's like, "Oh shit!" And then like his head, he like brightened up a little bit. He's like, "Yeah, I guess I couldn't have gone anyways." Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it would have been, you'd been going to the hurricane, so.
Why is there so much traffic?
And it made me realize, like, what if, would he have, like, put two and two together, like, even if he could go?
Right.
Would he be heading down there and be like, fucking shitty weather. Oh, well.
Why is everybody leaving?
Right, right.
We picked a good time to go. The beach is going to be all ours.
Right, right. But yeah, I bet it's no big deal. They were talking on, I've been watching a lot of Vice News lately. It's just as biased as everything else.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong, but at least they make the news somewhat interesting. They cover some sort of different topics, sort of. But apparently, like, they showed a picture, like a bird's eye view of, like, this. It looks like a landing strip. Not on your boyfriend's pussy, but... like a landing strip of
my girlfriend's dick.
Yeah, that's right. A full of like crates and crates, like, I mean, pallets, like probably like a million water bottles that never got delivered in Puerto Rico. And like, I guess I'm behind on this, I think, but I guess the death numbers are way more than what people thought. Like, he had said, like, in a press conference, like 13 or 14 people died, but it's more like 2,000 people died or something, and how the hurricane, response was like really successful and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, so I believe I read something at the time as well about how he reallocated $10 million of FEMA's budget for that hurricane response in Puerto Rico to Homeland Security. So I feel like a lot of stuff didn't follow through. Like, everything was great on the prep end.
Right.
And, you know, the money wasn't there to follow through.
Yeah.
So I remember reading something about that.
Dude, I've been watching, if you're listening right now, pause this and go to, YouTube and go to Kodak Black dancing. Dude, I cannot stop watching this video. He's dancing to his new song in the studio. Look at that dance.
It must be a real banger.
Look at that. He got a little belly while he was in prison.
Yeah. It must be a real banger. And to get him doing all the ape moves.
Right. Jeez.
I'm going to take it there one more time in this podcast.
Okay.
But it's not going to be that bad.
Okay. You were off mic. I don't think anybody heard you.
To get into
no. But yeah. Oh, did you watch Eminem's interview with Sway?
No.
Do you are you on Instagram?
No.
You gotta get an Instagram. Yeah. You'll catch a lot of that shit. He did an interview with Sway, and he put out part one. It's like an interview about Kamikaze.
Mm-hmm.
And part one is like 11 minutes. And he put that out like last night. Part two came out like at 8 o'clock tonight. So like right now. And apparently it's, or like the first part was really good. And the second part, he talks about like, the first part he's talking about like the critics and stuff and like why he made Kamikaze. And he's basically saying like he pumped up Revival. He promoted it, right? Yeah. Then he put out the track list and people talk shit about it and they didn't like it. So when they heard it, they're like, well, I just don't like it because I already decided I don't like it.
Yeah.
And that's what he says in the Caterpillar remix. But yeah. So when he put out Kamikaze, he's like, people listen to it and then they just have to form an opinion off of what they hear.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, he did change a little bit, but he says every time I zig, people say I should have zagged.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's like, it doesn't.
But the thing is, those people aren't Eminem.
Right.
So his success is the.
And you know this DJ Academics?
No.
Or Academics, the guy who used to do a show with Joe Budden, Eminem rips on him.
Okay.
I thought he was an actual DJ.
He's not.
A guy at my work told me today, he's like, no, dude. That guy was just like making YouTube videos, ripping, like critiquing rappers. He's never produced anything in his life except for critiques.
Wow.
And it's like, who is, like, you have no credibility. You have no, like,
yeah,
you know, sort of credit. I don't know.
Well, that's kind of like the whole idea about like podcasts and the like, is people have to give a fuck about what you want to say in order for you to get viewers. And for some reason, whatever Academic is saying, people give a fuck about.
It just shit talking, really.
Yeah.
Oh, also Joe Budden, like, he's been like saying, I don't know, he's like responding verbally, not in song, like to Eminem talking about him and stuff. But he's been shitting on Eminem since Revival, you know, and he's on Eminem's label and stuff. So
yeah,
Eminem's like, or Joe Budden after Kamikaze came out, he's like, I've been better than you for the last 10 years, you know, like all this stuff. And people are like, what the fuck? You sound so bitter.
Yeah.
You sound like such a bitter, like, ex-girlfriend, you know?
It's probably just because he didn't become rich as fuck.
Yeah, and he was a good rapper, I guess, but it didn't pan out.
Right.
And so
it doesn't.
And
he probably feels like he was one of Eminem's stepping stones, but Eminem was...
Dude, how good is that song?
Yeah.
Stepping Stone. Dude. That's probably one of my favorites on there.
Yeah, dude, I fucking love that album.
That reminded me of, like, what was the album that came out, like, when I was, like, a freshman in high school? Like, 04, 05. Not Encore. The one before Encore. The Eminem Show.
The Eminem Show, yeah.
Is that the one with Toy Soldiers? No, that was Encore.
It
reminded me of, like, Toy Soldiers and, like, that.
Okay, hold on. Wasn't the Eminem Show like the greatest hits album?
Or no.
That was...
Curtain Call was the greatest hits
Curtain
album.
Call.
Yeah, okay. The Eminem Show was his third.
Okay.
And then Encore.
Okay, so yeah, okay.
Encore had like Till I Collapse.
Yeah, so I think I had like Toy Soldiers, right?
Yeah. It reminded me of Toy Soldiers and like Yellow Brick Road, you know, sort of thing. But so was the other... The thing I was gonna say about Eminem. Anyways, the interviews are good, and you don't really hear him in interviews that often.
No,
you know,
no.
He does big interviews, but Sway is like, I mean, Sway works for him,
yeah,
technically,
yeah,
and he obviously handpicked Sway,
yeah,
to be that guy. I mean, who knows when they started the radio station, and they picked certain people, but. Sway's been there the whole time, and and he like had Sway sign an album that Sway put out like back in the old days, like when he was like a kid, so it was sweet. Also, they were at the Lions game.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, they did the coin toss or something. Eminem, Denon, and Paul Rosenberg. You know Paul Rosenberg, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen his face?
Yeah.
It's hard to see in the Instagram video because they're like walking out. There's people scattered all over the field, jerseys and not jerseys and stuff. And then you're like, oh, I guess that's Eminem. And Denine, if I'm saying his name right, is a lot bigger than Eminem if you see him on stage. But he's not a lot bigger than everybody else out there.
Right.
You know, and when they go to a football player's, obviously they look small. And then you're like, well, who's that giant guy?
Paul Rosenberg.
He's fucking huge.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
He is huge.
Yeah, no.
It's funny. I don't know. It's kind of an inside thing, but I mean, Paul Rosenberg's been part of his albums for since the beginning.
Yeah, since the beginning.
Yeah. So he must be a decent dude.
I had a question I want to ask you and not forget. Did you have a rebirth day recently?
Sobriety day?
Yeah.
No, September 19th.
Oh, September 19th. Okay, yeah. That's like a week.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, man. If I forget.
5 years.
5 years?
Yeah.
Ooh, the big 1111.
The big V, some people call it.
Ooh.
Well, Romans called it that.
The big V. Romans called it that.
It's Roman numeral.
Congratulations, man.
Thanks.
That's fucking hard earned, man. Take a moment of silence for JJ's big V.
Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. I just like to thank Jesus Christ for being my Lord and Savior. And I don't even know what people say after that. I don't even know if that's right. Yeah. Oh, dude, I'm going to Costa Rica in March.
Are you really?
Yeah.
That's sweet.
I'm going with my girlfriend's family.
Nice. And you're going to pack Corn Man in the suitcase?
Yes.
Yes.
But I'm like, oh, that's great, you know? But it's in the tropics, right? I take my shirt off, and I got tattoos all over my leg. It's going to be an awkward moment. Like,
you wear your shirt down to your legs?
No, but I mean, like, all over the top of my leg. Like, when I met him one time, I had shorts on, and I was, like, making sure it was covered because I don't want to explain. Oh, yeah, I just draw on my leg with a tattoo gun. So that's going to be interesting.
So what you're saying is when you take your shirt off, you're going to take your pants off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I wear a Speedo down there.
Okay. It's the tropics.
It's the tropics. What else? You know what? Did I mention this on the last podcast? I relapsed into my internet addiction of confrontation videos, police confrontation videos.
Yeah, I think we talked about it briefly.
Oh, I fucking love it, dude. Do you know what a sovereign citizen is?
Yeah.
You would be... Half the people who are sovereign citizens look like you, dude.
A sovereign citizen is somebody who's about to get arrested.
Yeah, exactly. And their window broken. And they're about to get tased.
Because they don't know what they're talking about. They're reading a book that's 25 years old. That's a to-do book. How to be a sovereign citizen. Never pay your taxes again or any debts. They're reading a 20-year-old book that doesn't take into account that the tax codes change so regularly and all laws change so regularly to avoid this type of shit. At one point in time, it was a real thing. Dude... If you can figure out how to be a sovereign citizen, you should be using your powers for better, greater things than
but
that.
I feel like there's some people who figure it out. Maybe they get lucky and the police does something wrong because they don't get charged in court or something like that. There's got to be a couple people who figure it out for people to believe that it's a real thing. Or maybe not. I don't know.
I think it's a wives' tale at this point.
Yeah.
Like, it used to work.
Yeah.
But no.
I'll tell you one thing, though. If a cop comes up to me, I'm walking down the street, cop comes up to me and says,
can I see some... I'm punching
him in the face. Yeah. And he goes, like, can I see some ID? I'd be like, why? That's the one, that's the one confrontations I agree with these people.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's kind of silly to walk down the street with a fucking assault rifle and then... And then, like, harass a cop with a video camera. Like, well, why? What? Yeah. Like, just say hi to the guy.
Yeah.
Probably won't fuck with you. You know what I mean? But people get ID'd. And they're like, no, I didn't do anything.
Yeah, walking down the street.
And then they're like, I need to know who you are. And they're like, no, you don't. Do you think I committed a crime? They're like, I don't know. And it's like, well, then fuck off.
Yeah.
I actually would refuse to give ID to a cop that's just like, if I feel like it's weird, you know what I mean? Also, if I feel slightly disrespected, you know, I would have to feel like they were like being
out of
super
line.
Cool for me to actually give them the ID.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, no, what? You can't just do that.
Yeah.
Also, let's be honest, it probably wouldn't happen to me.
Right.
It probably happens to like a black kid in a neighborhood where there's not that many black kids, you know what I mean? Or like somebody looking like you in a neighborhood where normal people live, you know what I mean? I didn't mean that.
Looking like me?
Yeah. No, I didn't mean that. I'm just kidding. You look actually nice today.
Crackhead swag.
Is that a new sweater?
Yeah. I mean, it's not new.
I thought you were protesting Nike.
No, I'm not protesting. In fact, I'm glad you brought this up. I'm glad you brought this up because, okay, so the world's in flames right now about Colin Kaepernick getting a contract with Nike about, you know, kneeling.
Well, let's be honest. This is one ad.
Yeah.
It's literally a picture with his face.
Yeah.
And the only words on it are like, stand up for what you believe in. That's all it is.
Even if it means losing everything.
Right.
Because he lost everything for football.
Right.
He lost all his endorsements and everything. Yeah. Subway won't even air him now.
Yeah, and they shelter pedophiles.
Yeah, dude. So, anyways, so it was the reason he kneeled is because the black inequality, you know, Black Lives Matter type of deal, you know, to jump on that movement and to raise awareness in another way. And yeah, it caught attention, but it maybe didn't work the way he had hoped, you know. But he sacrificed everything for what he believed in.
Yeah, but when you say it didn't work the way he hoped, I mean, you might call it a success.
Yeah. Oh, not at this point, yeah.
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 Because it's at least out there and people know.
Yeah.
You know.
And he had other players kneeling, knowing that there may be
basically half the league.
Yeah. The black half.
Well, the black 90.
So they've been coming out with spoof memes.
The best ones.
Yeah, and especially when they're this controversial, right? Because people are lighting their Nikes on fire and shit, you know? Okay, so spoof memes. Le'Veon Bell is out.
Yes. You sent me that one.
Yeah. Should I explain it or skip?
Yeah. No, it's good.
Okay, so Le'Veon Bell is out for the season, or right now. He's negotiating his contract, and he won't play a game until he gets what he wants. So him being the best running back in the league is going to be your first draft pick. First, second, or third draft pick in every fantasy league. Every single one happens to be my first round draft pick. But luckily I picked up his backup as well, you know, I handcuffed them bitches. So there's a poster that comes out, has Le'Veon Bell on it, and it says, "Stand up for what you believe in, even if it means screwing over everybody who drafted you in fantasy football."
Right. Dude, the best one I saw was, you remember Hector Salamanca from Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
The guy with the stroke?
Yeah.
It had his face close up, and it said, "Ding, ding, ding." And then next to the night, it said, "Ding." Oh, I loved it.
Okay, so another one I saw was a picture of Thanos.
Yeah.
From the Avengers. And, you know, his thing was balance, and he had to kill half the universe. So his said, "Stand up for what you believe in, even if it means sacrificing half of everyone."
Nice.
But this is the one I came up with today while I was working.
All right, paint this picture for me. Close-up face of...
I want to use Colin Kaepernick's face.
Okay. Oh, boy.
And it's going to say, "Stand up for what you believe in, even if it means black lives don't matter."
Now, philosophically, well, if you say, like, I don't get it.
Well, okay, so to me, black lives don't matter.
Right? Oh, Jesus.
Any more than any other life.
Okay.
Okay. But I'm all about population control, so no lives matter, really.
Right.
Okay, so.
Dude, that's a good one. If you started making shirts and stuff that said no lives matter, or like life doesn't matter or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's like a really gothy emo thing to wear. But if I were
very
to,
nihilistic.
Yeah, nihilistic. Yeah. I feel like it, though, if I were to flare it up with like a Nike check or something.
Right, right.
And maybe a photo of the Colin, the big CK, Colin Kaepernick.
So what? 50 Cent posted one that was Floyd Mayweather, and written on his face, it was just like, just letters in a row, because he can't read. So it was like, oh, the champ must have made this one himself. Dude, in like, you've heard about like Black Twitter, Black Instagram. It's basically like basically all the people that like is popular in the Black culture. 50 Cent is like the greatest of social media ever. He's like the biggest troll ever. He posted a picture of Busta Rhymes. You know how Busta Rhymes is like kind of big now?
Yeah.
And he said, he's like, this guy has the strongest neck I've ever seen. And it's like, his neck does look all swollen and stuff. And all of a sudden Busta Rhymes is like just really ripping him apart. And he's like, all I said was he has a big neck. You know, all I said was he has the biggest neck in hip hop. Although it is the biggest neck I've ever fucking seen. You know what I mean? Yeah.
But I wonder if he has writers like trying to fucking.
Probably. Yeah. People probably send him shit all the time and he's like, oh, that's good. I'm going to post it. Yeah.
That's in the vault.
Yeah. 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 He's funny as shit. Yeah. He did a post the other day of Wendy Williams and he's just like talking like crazy shit over whatever she was saying because he's like, she's the biggest wench of all. Have you seen Wendy Williams lately?
Oh yeah,
she's fucking grosses me out. Yeah. She looks like a tranny.
Yeah, she does.
She does,
and not one that I would fuck. Not one that I would fuck
anymore. Now that you've gotten it out of your system,
right? I might have fucked her in the. I fucked a tranny. No, that was Wendy Williams. Oh no!
Oh no! I didn't. It was disgusting, and I didn't even get it out of my system. So what else is new with? Are you still on Tinder? Are you still getting anything?
I've kind of slowed it down. I just need to emotionally recover from what had happened to me.
Is it for real hard for? Okay, so what people would think after hearing your story is like, God, that I mean, okay. So to be clear, you're just not gay. You just did something that you're like, oh, it's kind of on the borderline. See if I can do it. And you did it, but you're like, nah, I'm not really
it's not on the borderline.
Yeah. So it was on the borderline for you mentally in your head.
But it turned out to be on the other side of the border.
Right, right. South of the border, per se. Puerto Rico. Anyways.
And dick.
Yeah. So, like, a lot of guys... when they think about it, they're like, I would have a hard time reconciling. It could ruin their whole lives.
Right.
Some people.
Yeah.
You know, there's like a story I heard a comedian tell that like, okay, so this guy picked up a hooker, got a blowjob, found out it was a guy, killed him, and then like got caught dumping the body by the police. Went on a car chase, ended up suicide by cop. All because he got blown by a dude.
Yeah.
When really... it could be just a funny story. Yeah. Like if you don't make it that big in your head.
Yeah.
So I always think about that. But
even
so
for, a funny prison story. Like if he didn't do suicide by cop right. And he was in it, and they caught me dumping that faggot in a dumpster.
But so like, do you have any hard time reconciling it with yourself, or you're just like, fuck it?
No, it's honestly, I'm not like an emotionally like
equipped
person. Yeah, I was just gonna say I'm emotionally retarded, but I'm trying not to use the R word. But
you just said faggot like six times.
Yeah, but
and I think you mouthed the N word to me earlier.
Guilty. But what was I saying? Oh yeah, I'm not emotionally equipped to like as a normal man is. So a lot of things don't faze me. But this is kind of getting...
testing you?
Yeah, it's testing me. And so instead of jumping feet first or head first back into the online dating world for the plethora of fish that need snacking on, I've been just taking a chill a little bit.
Yeah.
And then dabbling in my wading pools, as they were. Of collected fish.
So you remember
I'm just going back through the roster
yeah.
of players I cut.
Now, are these players that I've met or random ones along the way.
Random ones along the way.
What about that first girlfriend you had when I first met you?
Danny?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to say.
Yeah, she's one of them.
Has she been around lately? You been seeing her?
Yeah.
We should get her on the podcast.
Yeah, you'd like that?
Because remember the... Didn't you say she's like dating girls now?
Well, she... Well, right now she's dating a boy. I was just talking about it. Yeah, I know, it's a bummer.
Did that happen? Happened like a week ago?
I don't know. I turned her back though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a stud.
You are a stud.
Stud muffin. No.
What do you call a horse? Like a, you know, horse or stud? What do you call a horse that fucks other male horses?
A squib.
Okay, that's what you are.
I don't know.
All right. Well, that's cool. I mean, it's testing you, but it's obviously not fucking with you that bad.
Right. Yeah, it's not fucking with me that bad. It's just like some nights I just sit in the shower clothed and cry.
Yeah.
But that's nothing out of the norm.
That's because your dick hurts, that's all.
It's nothing out of the norm. And then...
You know what? I used to have a theory about you, and I haven't thought about it. It's not that I've disproved the theory. But did you get like attacked in a shower at some point in your life or something? For real?
No.
Like in gym class? Or...
No.
Because when we lived together and shit, you used to not really want to shower that often. And then you would like lock the door. Not that I was checking the door every time, but I was checking the door every time.
Well, I went through a hobo phase, you know?
Yeah.
And so showering was like very low on my priority list.
No, when we lived together back in like 2012.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I guess that was your hobo phase.
Yeah, I was totally going through it. Even though I had been living in a house of sorts for, you know, I'd shower like once a week. But the places I would shower, typically another hobo could have come in and stabbed me. So
yeah.
If the door locks, you're locking it.
Hey, you know what I was thinking about? So back in the day, maybe you can give me some insight on this. Back in the, I guess I've been thinking about it because the Vice is covering a whole bunch of like opioid crisis news stories.
Yeah.
Back in the day when I used to do opioids, the you know, for lack of a better term, the Vicodin 750s were $3.
Yeah.
Vicodin 500 was like $2. You'd rarely get those, but and then thousands of like Norco, or I think there was even white Vicodin 1000s.
Yes.
And then like, or like Percocets or whatever, those were like $4.
Mm-hmm.
And
you were paying $2, $3, $4.
Right, basically, yeah. Those prices, like, since I've been clean, those prices have doubled.
They're double.
Is that because of the crackdown on prescription writing and stuff?
Yeah.
It's really that, because...
And that adds to the heroin epidemic.
Right, right.
And on top of that, there's more fake pills out there now. People are pressing pills, selling them as Vicodin, as Xanax, as whatever.
I've seen the Xanax on a Vice...
Yeah,
thing.
We watched the British one with
the goofball.
My anxiety and stuff like that. But they're getting like bars that have nothing in them. They're just selling bars that have nothing. That guy was getting...
Of course. Why wouldn't you?
Right.
You know what I mean?
At that point.
That's what people... Like, I never understood, like, people would go to music festivals and like try to buy ecstasy or try to buy acid or something. And it's like... I mean... It's you're rolling the dice.
Yeah.
It might be nothing.
Yeah. Call the Better Business Bureau, bitch.
Yeah. Like. What can you do about it? I mean it was always a toss up. Half the time it was like freaking nothing, or like a little bit of Adderall in a capsule that was like, okay, that wasn't ecstasy, that was, you know, just a little bit of Adderall or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
well,
why would you ever trust pills that weren't like, you know, made from a real manufacturer?
Well, they look exactly like they're made from a
real manufacturer. Okay.
They look exactly like.
Well, but in that one documentary, they were making like bars of Xanax that were like dark red, and it's like they don't make that.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I've seen the pictures of them where they're like sitting next to each other. Boom, boom. No difference.
I mean, how hard can it be?
Not hard.
It's not like making a new $20 bill.
Right. It pretty much is, but it's not.
Well, but yeah, but it's not
the
like.
The process isn't as involved in the trickery.
You could literally do it by like kind of like fabricating your own little press. Mm-hmm. It looks like this.
Yeah. And the thing about like the club drug versus the benzo or the opiate, when you go to the club to get a drug, it's, you know, you're getting a couple hits for your, maybe you and your buddies, and that's it. But when you're going to somebody,
you're not looking to stock up.
Yeah, when you're looking,
right then.
Yeah, now opiate and benzo addiction though, you're buying 50 or 100 pills, you know.
Yeah.
And so they make over on you, and even if you don't use them again, there's another fucking schlep waiting to get schlepped over, you know, schlepped on.
Back when I was living in the trailer park one time, I was out of sources to get some Vicodin.
The drogos.
And I just called up somebody in my phone book that I hadn't talked to in a long time. And I was like, I'm just going down the list of possibilities. And we didn't have internet in the trailer. So it was like, and I mean, I had a flip phone back then. And
kind of fucking poor lifestyle.
I know. And I message this kid. And he's like, okay, yeah, I'll be over there. Pulls over, like, you know, comes, it drops it in my hand, says peace, takes a loop around, and he got out of there. I bring him in the house. My friend that was with me was like, that's not Vicodin. I was like, what the fuck? Look it up online. It wasn't. It was like a whole bag of, like,
blood
cholesterol.
Pressure,
yeah. And then I had looked, and then, like I was like, you fucked me, dude. And he, like, you know, he fucked me. Whatever.
He sent you the middle finger emoji.
Yeah, I mean, he got me. What am I going to do? Right. At that point...
You got.
Yeah. And then like 3 weeks later or something, I was at somewhere with the internet, went on my Facebook, and he had messaged me on my Facebook because he got fired from a job that we worked at. And he had messaged me on Facebook like, fuck you. You guys are all fucking fake there at this place that we were working. He had already fucking wrote me off. It, like, and then I called him out of nowhere like, hey, you help me out? He's like,
Yeah, bud.
Sure, you on Facebook? No, okay. You know,
I got you, buddy.
Yeah. I thought that was funny.
That is.
But yeah, so it must be because they shut down most of those like pain clinics down in Florida and shit.
Yeah, and now I read actually insurers are going to stop insuring OxyContin.
They should.
No, they shouldn't, because that's just going to push people addicted to OxyContin to use heroin. And instead of getting something that's made in a lab...
What happened to population control? When you're talking about white people. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm all for population control, but that is a very detrimental way to society to control the population.
Right. It's not quick.
And yeah, and it's, it fucking destroys stuff.
Right.
You know?
There's a... Oh, fuck. I was just gonna... Fuck, you just reminded me something. Fuck, I forgot. I don't know. Yeah, but anyways, I love those docs. It seems like there was this one that came out about 2 years ago on HBO, and it was in Massachusetts, you know, Cape Cod and all that shit. Mm-hmm. It seems like if you go to Massachusetts and you go into a Dunkin' Donuts, there's somebody shooting up in the bathroom.
Yeah.
It's like every Dunkin' Donuts, there was like, oh, I'm busy shooting up in here. Okay, let me know when you're out so I can shoot up.
When I worked in Clinton Township, we would empty like the smoker post. I worked at a bar in Clinton Township, and we empty the smoker post out the back, like where the employees smoke.
Yeah.
And every single time, there were more syringes than cigarette butts.
No shit.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah,
I don't know, it's weird. And then the other documentary I was watching is how treatment people prey on the addict.
Yes,
you know what I mean? It's crazy.
Okay, so I used to be they would give, when I was in rehab for, you know, 90 days, They would give a weekly lecture on Vivitrol, methadone, Suboxone, and all these like medicated assistance plans. And I was dead set against them. I'm like, this is just big pharma pushing dope in a clinical environment. They get a doctor, somebody you trust, and to push dope for when you get out of here, that you're supposed to be cured. And you get out of here, and now they want to put you on methadone. Like, that does not make sense to me. It did not compute in my head at the time.
Right.
But now, after processing it and seeing the speech so many times and processing it and bitching about it and then actually starting to talk about it, I realize not everybody in that room is going to stay sober.
Yeah.
So if you have to go back to use, use one of these instead, because it saves fucking lives.
Yeah.
And the government will get to you for free.
Yeah, but some of them aren't. Like, okay, say you're on methadone, right?
Yes, I'm on methadone.
You don't have to say it.
Oh, I thought you meant. Okay.
Say you're gay.
I'm not on methadone. Say you're gay. I'm gay.
Okay. No. Say you're on methadone.
You're on methadone.
So you, how disruptive is that to your life? You have to go every day, right?
Okay, so there's multiple ways this works. So you have to go every day. They're only open certain times. Some are only open like 3 hours in the morning from 5 to 8.
Right.
But there's some that are open, like the one in Pontiac is open from like 4:30 until 1. So you have a huge chunk of time to get there.
Right.
You got to go there every day. You can go there for 3 months. And if you piss clean every time for everything but methadone, if you aren't doing any drugs but methadone, they'll give you a week of take homes. So then you can start taking home your script every, and then you only got to come in once a week and take a piss test and take your get your refill.
And methadone is a like a shot?
It's a like a shot.
Yeah.
Not a injection.
Right, no, like a drink.
Yeah. Yeah, they also have methadone pills.
Yeah.
But you see those more on the street than in clinics.
Yeah. Yeah, cuz how are you going to yeah. Yeah, that's fucking nuts. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, but is there any... How do you get off methadone? Is it your willpower? Or does a doctor kind of help push you to wean?
Okay, so the methadone clinics... Now, this is where it gets kind of shady. The methadone clinics... There's no real way to gauge pain, okay? So you go in a methadone clinic. They start you at a dose like 50 milligrams a day. And then you go on the next day and you say, oh no, I'm still really hurting, still feeling my withdrawal symptoms. So they bump you up to 60. You go on the next day, oh no, I'm still feeling really bummed, my withdrawal symptoms. 70. Next day, oh no, I'm still the fucking 80, 90, 100, 150, 100, 200. So you can just work your way up to getting 200 milligrams of methadone a day, which will fucking kill a horse.
Right.
And not a person with a heavy dope habit, but it would get them high.
Right.
So
50 wouldn't.
50 wouldn't.
50, you would still feel withdrawals.
Oh, yeah.
50 is kind of where you need to get down to.
50 is where you want to... Ideally, if you can hang on for 3 days at 50,
right,
then 50 is going to be okay.
Right.
And then, so you can increase every day. So then what they do when you say, I'm ready to start tapering down.
But you have to say that.
You have to say that. They'll keep you on methadone 30 years, 40 years. Yeah. I know somebody been on methadone 40 years. So
that's insane.
Yeah.
Does that have long-term effects on the liver and shit?
Yeah, and teeth. And you look like a crackhead.
And you're clean, kind of.
Yeah. And it's the only opiate that they say you should have kids on. So, not that you should have kids on it, but it's safer to have kids on.
Right.
But, so when you want to taper down, you have to go to them, and then you have to make a special appointment to see the doctor and tell the doctor, I want to taper down. And so the taper plan, and you can abort it at any time, the taper plan is 5 milligrams, then 3 days later, 5 milligrams down, 3 days later, 5 milligrams down, 3 days later, 5 milligrams down, 3 days
And say you're at 200.
Yeah.
What do you stop at? 5 milligrams? Then you go to 0?
Then you go to, I think, 2.5. because it's half-life is like 3 weeks. So it stays in your system for so long.
Yeah.
So if you're at 50 and you want to wean down and use their wean plan, you're off in a month. And
what happens if you shoot heroin when you're on methadone?
You get high as a kite.
Really?
Yeah.
It doesn't. It's not like a blocker.
No.
Suboxone is though.
Suboxone's a blocker, but you just gotta overpower that shit.
Yeah.
I overpowered it many times in my day.
I took a fucking quarter, maybe an eighth of a strip of Suboxone one time when I was at work. I mean, people thought I was gonna die just by looking at me.
Yeah, you didn't have a dope habit.
It was so small of amount.
Yeah, it's strong stuff, man.
Yeah, that just shows you the difference between even like a 30 milligram Oxycontin versus shooting heroin into your vein.
It's insane. So then, so that's the way they taper, the 3 days go down, 3 days right. go down, is way too fast.
Is it?
Yeah, because if you lose 10% of your dose, then it's going to take you, your body, 3 weeks to adjust properly to that. But you get 3 days, and then in the next day you're losing like 12% of your dose.
Now try to take any bias you may have out of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now I get if they get you up to 200 milligrams, you know, yeah, that's I mean it's like withdrawing from a real heroin habit cold turkey.
It's worse.
Okay, but I mean. I don't know. It's such a weird situation because I would say not having had a heroin habit, you know, if you have to go on it, like try to stick with that 50 and then like, but then again, like, I don't know if you come out of rehab and you're sober, 100% sober in rehab, why in the earth would you go on methadone?
Right. You shouldn't go on methadone. You should go on Suboxone or Vivitrol.
But Suboxone will still get you high. Yeah, Vivitrol seems like the one.
Yeah, because if you're like, I know I'm going to fuck it up. Yeah. Use Vivitrol. It doesn't get you high, and it actually changes your mindset.
Yeah.
You know, it's a...
Did you ever get it after what? You got like two shots?
Yeah, two or three.
Yeah.
But I didn't get it because I felt like... you know, there was some hiccups in my life in general. But I felt like, man, it was just... I didn't need it, man.
Right.
The whole lifestyle of running and gunning to get my drugs is so fucking unappealing and exhausting.
It's tiring.
Dude, I feel like I'm 43 years old, man. So I'm sitting here, I'm 56. I feel like I'm 43. Hold on, wait.
You know what's funny? When you watch these documentaries with like people on heroin, it's like nobody with a real heroin habit can keep a job.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't care who you are. Even somebody like you, like, all you've ever known is, like, well, I need a job to live. You know, ever since you were a kid, you're like, well, I mean, I have to have a job, and you make ends meet, you know? But, like, it's like, it does not work.
Yeah.
I mean, now, I'll tell you this. My parents knew people who were junkies to their 65.
Yeah.
Somehow they made it work, and you wouldn't really know. They weren't like street dwelling people.
Different times back then.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I don't. It's so weird, but it's like impossible to keep a job because it's a full time job, and the habit is so much more than you can make really.
Yeah, it's expensive.
I mean, you'll run the habit up the money exponentially, right?
Yeah. As soon as you get it, it's gone.
Yeah.
They say you're paying the high cost for low living. That's what they say. High cost for low living. And I was living like a bum, and somehow I was making and spending at least $200 a day.
Yeah.
But I was living like a fucking bum.
Yeah.
And $200
because a day. Because you find a place that you don't have to pay rent, and then you don't pay your car note. And then it's like, you know... Oh, I fucked up this job. I got to get this job. And then, oh, this job I can drive while I'm on the clock. So this hell, you know.
Yeah. And it just it's spirals.
Crazy. Yeah.
The rabbit hole goes deeper.
But like, Like, you could never, you would never buy, like, a new sweatshirt if you were using heroin.
Nope.
Like, especially a $50, $60 sweatshirt.
This?
Yeah. How much was it?
$50, $60.
Don't tell me you paid $90 for that. How much was it?
$85.
Yeah, I guess.
So
it's a nice, it's a nice hoodie.
Yeah, it's fucking totally, it's what do you call it? Relevant to the times. You know, it's like a statement.
Yeah, it's cool. You know what? People, I heard somebody say, like, Nike didn't do this going out on a limb. They know who buys their shit.
Yeah.
They know who their audience is.
Yeah.
And they're, and they, their sales increased over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Come on. Also, yeah, if you burn a pair of Nikes, they still sold a pair of Nikes.
Yeah. That's true. But it means, oh, I'm not buying another pair.
Right.
But you're going to buy another pair, darling. But that,
oh. Oh, nice. Those are nice, dude. Did you find a new spot to move to yet?
Yeah, I'm moving into the trailer park, the same trailer park.
Nice.
Yeah.
You going to stay off, Mike? You ready to wrap up?
But yeah, you see the shoes? They're different colors.
They're fly.
People keep asking me, are you wearing two different shoes?
Right, because they're one color on one side. Yeah.
But you peep the laces, too. Got the red specs in the lace.
Nice. That's nice, dude.
Straight pimping.
Nice. You got to get back on Tinder, man.
Yeah.
Find yourself a girl without a dick. Or with one. I prefer you get one with one.
It makes for great radio. It
makes for great podcasting, yeah. People seem to love it or hate it, so. All right. Well, you ready to wrap it up? You got any last thoughts?
No. I haven't had a thought this whole time.
I'm going to go to bed. Actually, I probably watched 2 hours of internet videos. But let me get a good song for us to go out on.
Okay.
I'm going to play that song that you, here we go. All right, we'll catch you on the next one. Peace.
Police coming.